Hi everyone, Shai here. And for today's episode, I have my son Gil along with me.
Hi.
If you're a regular listener of The Why, you probably know that from time to time during the COVID pandemic, Gil has joined me for some virtual field trips to museums around the Philadelphia area. The idea was that these are places in our own backyard that we didn't get to before all of this happened. It's a recurring series we're calling, Why Didn't I Go There? And they've been pretty fun, right, Gil?
Right.
Yeah, thanks for humoring me. Anyway, even though a lot of museums are opening up again, it'll still be a while before everyone is visiting museums like they used to. So today, we're checking out the Belmont Mansion, a museum in Fairmount Park, which became a refuge for enslaved people seeking freedom in Philadelphia. How did that happen? Let's find out. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov.
And I'm Gil Patrick Ben-Yaakov. And
this is The Why. Janice Sykes Ross is director of the Belmont Mansion, a three-story structure that sits in Belmont Plateau in Fairmount Park near West Philadelphia. Janice, before we get started, I want to introduce you to my son, Gil. He's with me here on this interview.
Hi.
Hi, Gil.
So the Belmont Mansion is this beautiful building and also, amazingly, an Underground Railroad site. Just tell me a little bit about the history of the mansion.
So in 1742, an English loyalist named William Peters brought the Belmont from the Penn family right before the Revolutionary War began. And because William Peters was a loyalist, he decided to go back to England because he was loyal to the Queen. He then turned the property over to his son, Richard Peters. Richard Peters became secretary to George Washington. So the Belmont Mansion became this place that when George Washington, Madison, Jefferson, when they were all meeting, they would come out of the city and go up to Belmont Mansion and dine there.
And so what's the relation to the Underground Railroad?
Richard Peters was a judge in the city of Philadelphia, and he became the first non-Quaker member of the abolition movement.
Do you know what abolition means?
No idea.
So, Gil, the abolition movement was a movement that was started prominently with Quakers in the 1700s when it was against the law to free a slave. The Quakers believed that this was wrong. And so they started this abolition movement, which was to say it is against the law to own other human beings.
So they were anti-slavery.
They were anti-slavery. Yeah.
So Richard Peters is the first non-Quaker abolitionist that we know of. What else do we know about Richard Peters?
So he owned slaves. The Peters family owned slaves, and particularly he purchased and owned a slave called Cornelia Wells. Because of his affiliation in politics, Judge Peters, it was his job to entertain. So they had to get someone who was very good at cooking and entertaining and cleaning and really running the household. So Cornelia Wells became an indentured slave.
So he was a member of the abolition society, but also owned slaves. Was that a common contradiction, do you think?
I think for the Peters family, especially in the late 1700s to early 1800s, the fact of owning labor, owning free labor, owning enslaved individuals was so common, especially for someone who was as wealthy as the Peters family and owned a great deal of land. They own what is now considered the primary spot of Fairmount Park. They own all of that, all the way down to Martin Luther King Drive and parts of Kelly Drive. So all of that was their land, and someone had to work that, and someone had to help them sustain that. So it was not uncommon for them to own slaves.
You said before that Cornelia was, I think you said indentured. Was she an indentured servant?
She was purchased in 1811 by Judge Peters from Thomas Morgan. And then she became an indentured slave.
What's the difference between indentured and enslaved?
Good question. So indentured slave meant that she could buy her own freedom. She was going to get a wage for work, which means that she was able to buy her freedom and the freedom for her daughter, Jane. I think it's important to mention that. And that was done in a 3-year period. And she was given Bolson College as her residence, which is located right now, it still stands today, and it's on Martin Luther King Drive, right next to the Belmont Stables, located directly across to what used to be called Peter's Island. And it is, and you can see it now, you'll see a part of the river that has a jetty, and it's almost like an island by itself.
And how did the Peters family and Cornelia end up sort of turning the Belmont Mansion into this safe house, into this stop on the Underground Railroad?
The Bolson College ended up being a place where runaways, once they were coming up the river on ships, would get off, and then from there come over to the Bolson Cottage, and then from the Bolson Cottage, Cornelia Wells would take them to the Belmont Mansion for safe, as a place of safekeeping, until they were able to either integrate into the Philadelphia society or go further north.
Do you think there were actually any trains on the Underground Railroad?
There might have been trains used. Yeah. I mean, again, you're not taking a leisurely trip. You're not going on vacation. You're running for your life. You're escaping, right? So you want to be as secretive as possible.
Were Cornelia and the Peters family ever discovered as protecting enslaved people who fled?
Great question. It is not documented that they were ever discovered. I believe if they had been discovered, they would have been put to death. But it is not documented that they were ever discovered.
And whatever happened to Cornelia, do we know?
Cornelia became an entrepreneur. She was a tremendous cook. So she would make ginger cakes and make ginger beer and sell them to some of the fishermen that came along the Schuylkill River. And so the cottage also became known as Aunt Cornelia's.
Does anybody live in the Belmont Mansion now, or has anybody for, say, the last century?
Yes. So we have a gentleman by the name of Wayne Adams who has been living at the Belmont Mansion for 17 years. And it is required by the city of Philadelphia that with the historic houses that you have what they call a caretaker, or someone who actually lives on the property.
Interesting. So he actually lives there.
He actually lives there.
We'll be right back.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov, along with my son Gil, talking with Janice Sykes Ross, director of the Belmont Mansion in Fairmount Park, which was once a stop on the Underground Railroad. Janice, I know the Belmont was sort of rediscovered by a woman named Audrey Johnson Thornton.
There's a story here in these walls. It is the oldest Palladian mansion in the country, 360 years old. As soon as I saw it, I knew that this was it, that this was something that we could really work with, never, ever thinking of where we are going to be here today.
Can you just tell us that story?
So Miss Audrey was riding through Belmont Plateau area. And Belmont Plateau, even back in early 1900s, as well as today, is one of the sites where a lot of African Americans like to come. So as she was driving through, she happened to look over and notice that this building, and this building was in a very decayed state, but she saw it, and then she began to do research to find out more about what the building was, the significance to where it was, and then later to discover that it was also a stop, a significant stop on the Underground Railroad.
As far as the Belmont Mansion's actual collection goes, our producer Kelsey sent along some photos of things that we were hoping you could talk about a little bit. We're looking at some photos of quilts. What are these quilts and why are they significant?
Yes, so the quilts on display at the mansion really help you understand the story that was being told. Again, remember that runaway slaves, a lot of them were not able to read and write. So how do we communicate? How do we know that this is the way that we should go? If we can't read and write, we can't read a sign. So the quilts really became the way that they were able to communicate.
So we're looking at a quilt here that has, it's probably 12 different squares. One of them has something that looks like a sun in it. What do you see, Gil?
Well, I see a sun, then a little blue square with spiked rectangles around it. Don't know what that's all about. Then a Wheel of Fortune wheel.
Yeah, so let's ask Janice, like, what are we looking at?
The first quilt pattern that you're looking at was called the North Star. And so that quilt might be displayed anywhere along the runaway route. And that was telling you, you're going in the right direction. You're going north because you're going to follow the North Star. Another pattern that you're probably looking at is the wagon wheel. And this wagon wheel said that in this wagon that's coming into town, it has a secret compartment. And in that secret compartment are runaways. So the quilt might just be laying on the back of the wagon or on the side of the wagon. But if you're part of the Underground Railroad and an abolitionist, you know what this means. It means we've got to get those runaways out of that cart. I mean, we've got to get them to a secret place like the Belmont Mansion.
Wow. So is this like a secret code?
They were codes. Absolutely. That's exactly what they were.
Thank you so much again, Janice. I really appreciate your time. And this has been really fascinating. I can't believe I haven't been to visit. And we'll definitely be coming.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Nice talking to you.
Thank you so much.
You too.
All right.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Janice Sykes Ross is director of the Belmont Mansion. Go ahead, Gil.
Okay. The Y is produced by Annette John Hall, Alex Stern, Kelsey Hansen, and Sabrina Boyd Circa, with editorial direction from Katie Culinary. I'm Gilpatrick Ben-Yakov.
And I'm Shai Ben-Yakov. And for all you regular Y listeners, I'm going to be taking a few months off and we'll be back in December. Until then, I leave you in the very capable hands of my team. Stay well and be safe. The Y returns Thursday.
Bye.
Good. All right. Okay. Okay. I have to be quiet for this part.